You can turn your Bibles, if you will, to the Gospel of John. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John in the New Testament. And we've already been thinking a lot about Christmas. I know you have. Some of you have already started shopping and all that stuff. By the way, I had a question. I was thinking of this. How many of you remember the Eaton's Christmas catalog? I should have asked how many of you don't remember, because that would have been a lot less hands. But the Eaton's Christmas catalog used to come, and boy, that was a treat. And even since we came to Blenheim, we can remember coming back from our two-week vacations in August, and in all the mail that was saved and kept, you'd find this little card. Pick up your Sears wish book at your nearest Sears outlet. Some of you remember that too? Yeah, this is a confession of age, you know. And I thought that maybe we're past those types of things, even though we get our flyers in the mail every week, and now they're starting to really ramp up the sales and advertising. And then a while back, I thought we were past the big catalog, and I get this from Amazon Holiday Kids Gift Book. Did you get this? So we're already in the mood, and this is one of the first things I look through. There was nothing there I wanted, but I looked through it anyway because of being conditioned by Eaton's and Sears. And we look forward to the time of family and festivities, and it's a busy time, isn't it? And we get tired, and we get broke, you know. And but that really brings up a point I want to talk about today. Today is sort of maybe a springboard into a Christian festival. In the Old Testament, God ordained, he commanded certain feasts that were to be held throughout the year. And the purpose of those feasts were to remind the Israelites of a particular event that happened in their history. A significant event that had such meaning that it influenced their life throughout the centuries. And I know that when Jesus was born, they didn't necessarily call it Christmas, and it came about over time with Saint Nicholas and so on and his ability to give. But today we do very intentionally remember what we call Christmas. It's really Christ Mass. It's a time of worshiping the Christ who has come. And the danger is, yes, that we can get sidetracked very easily from the significance of Christmas, of Jesus coming, by our busyness and our tiredness and being broke. And we're wondering, how are we going to pay this MasterCard bill? And so many things can distract us. You know that sometimes families and churches can get a little bit agitated because people are tired? And I wouldn't want to say they snap at one another, but they're a little shorter tempered. You get my drift. It's easy to allow a significant event that we cherish so much to become something that's a burden. And so I want to talk about, hey, let's get our focus right off the bat. I know that Kent's going to speak on Christmas when he comes back for the next 3 or 4 weeks. But this is sort of a springboard. And for me, one of the easiest memory things that helps me get a grasp on the Christmas season is simply this. Jesus gets down to earth. Now, biblically, he came from heaven to earth. But we're going to see that he also really gets down to earth in order to touch our lives. And I think that these types of things ought not to be allowed to be sidetracked by all the other preparations for the festivities of the season. So I want to talk today about the fact that Jesus gets down to earth. And as Donna read, many people saw him, and I want to refer to that. But I want to start here in John chapter 1. If you look down at verse 14, this is a verse that we're going to hear during the Christmas season, and appropriately so, emphasizing that God came to our level. And this is what it says. The Word. Now, if you look back in verse 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. When we refer to the Word, other than the written Word, when we refer to the living Word, it refers to Jesus, who is God's communication to us, speaking God's Word, God's ways, showing us by His life that He indeed was God. But He's called the Word. And it says in 14 that the Word became flesh, or human. He took on human likeness. And He made His dwelling among us. We have seen His glory, the glory of the one and only who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. So this whole issue of being down to earth, getting down to earth, I believe that sums up what Christmas is all about. But let's unpack that now a little bit to get our minds and our hearts, hopefully, where God would want them to be during this season. You see, one of the questions that comes isn't just what does God's Word say? But it's also, why did the Holy Spirit want us to read this? What is God's intention by us reading this? That means that there are certain things that I need to take away. There are certain things I need to get to see that transform my life, my mind and my heart and how I act. And that's why the Holy Spirit, in compiling the Scriptures, wrote these things down. It's sort of like, you know, we weren't there when Moses was around. Now, one or two of you here might have been, but I wasn't. And we weren't here when Jesus was here either. So God is so faithful and so gracious that He made sure that history was recorded, documented, so while we did not see them in person, we see through the eyes of other people. And so I believe that the first thing He wants us to understand is that Jesus gets down to earth and He wants us to see this as a fact of history. It is cognitive. We understand facts of history in our minds. And we see it in our minds as being true because that's what history is. And so, first of all, seeing this is very important. This book is not a mere book of Bible stories. This book is a record of documents of history. And so we read here that in the Old Testament, the prophets promised that a king would come. And they actually told that this king would be called the Messiah. And that He would be the Almighty God. He would be the Prince of Peace. He would be born in Bethlehem. He would have a forerunner, like a king had a forerunner running before him, announcing the king's presence. And the forerunner would be John the Baptist. And I don't mean denomination, more John the Baptizer in the New Testament. And there were multiple prophecies or promises of the fact that this king would come. And then as we get closer, we pick up in the New Testament how that the Christmas characters begin to give the thought, He's coming soon. And so God appeared to Zechariah and Elizabeth and said, you're going to have a son, even though you're beyond it now. And John the Baptist was born. And then He appeared to this virgin named Mary, who wasn't even married yet, though she was engaged to be married to Joseph. He says, Mary, you're going to have a child. And this child will be called the Son of God. And the Holy Spirit's going to come upon you. It's going to be a miraculous conception, a miraculous birth. And the thought was that this is going to come soon. And we read in Matthew and in Luke how that very soon Zachariah and Elizabeth had John, and Mary had Jesus, and Joseph, her espoused husband, stood by her and helped her through this time. You can imagine all the ridicule that this single mom, as it were, got at that time. But the words of the prophets now were beginning to be fulfilled. And the Christmas characters that we read about in Matthew and in Luke begin to say it's very soon. And then as the shepherds were just minding their own business out on the hillsides one night, these angels appear and they say, the time's come. Unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior. He is Christ the Lord. And you'll find him. You'll see him with your eyes. He's in a cave or in a manger. And he'll be wrapped in cloths, a sign of poorness at that time. They didn't have sleepers and other things back then. And you'll see him. So right from it's coming soon, he's arrived. The Old Testament and the New Testament are documents that persuade us that the coming of Jesus to planet Earth, this young child, this baby, is historical. It happened. It's a fact. If it did not happen, we ought not to be in this place. Because I haven't got time to play religion and just be a glorified social scene here because it's some degree of religious. The issue is, Jesus was a historical character. And he wants us to understand that this indeed is a fact of history. He became human. He dwelt among us. Verse 14. The response of the early Christians was phenomenal. Because as they saw this child, and as Simeon and Anna in the temple saw, as the wise men came a couple of years later and saw, their thought was this. They were so convinced that this little one born was the Messiah prophesied about in the Old Testament, now come to be with us, that they thought, God has not forgotten us. See, they had some pretty rough times back then. God has remembered us. He's remembered his promises. He has come. And they responded in worship and thanksgiving and even to the point of persecution. Let's go a step further. Even Herod, the enemy of the Jews, was threatened because this baby called the King of the Jews was born. So the issue is, whether or not we accept and believe who Jesus is, or whether we want nothing to do with Jesus, it does not change the fact of history. He came. And he got down to earth, and during this Christmas season, the big thing that we affirm, first of all, is this. With our minds and in our attitudes, God became man. Jesus was called Emmanuel, which means God with us. And so here, when we gather to celebrate the Christmas season in the church community, in the Christian community, the big thing we affirm right off is we're not dealing with just some other religious ideology. We are dealing with a fact of history that starts in our minds and it begins to work its way to our hearts, and we are filled with gratitude because God is faithful in not forgetting us. He sent a Savior. And his name is Christ the Lord. It is Jesus. And so that's where we always have to start in our worship. This is just not a fairy tale. These are documents of historical record. And this is so important because Jesus is real and he has come for us. So that's one thing that I think about when I think of Jesus getting down to earth. It is a fact. It happened. Even if you still hate him, it's a fact. It can't be changed. It's documented. It's proven. Not done in a closet. Very public. Very much affirmed. And we'll talk about this in a minute. The other thing that I was thinking was that in getting down to earth, he wanted us to see his focus. Like, why did he come? And the focus was that he came to be seen. He dwelt among us, it says in verse 14, and we have seen. Now, we weren't there, but others saw, as we have mentioned. And what's documented here is what others saw, because we weren't there to see. But now I can see, because of the historical documents that have been passed on to us, and God made sure that happened. So his purpose was that we would see him, because he dwelt among us. And let me put it this way. God wants to get personal. It isn't just that God so loved the world. No. God so loved Bill Terrace. And God so loved each of us here this morning that he gave his only begotten son. His focus was on us. In coming, he said, I have not forgotten you. I love you. I want to share myself with you. And I'm here for a time. And I want you to see. I want you to see me. And how verse 14 puts it is, we have seen his glory. When you talk about the glory of a person, you talk about all that they are. And so you see their character. You see what they're like. You see how they act. And you hear their words. And you see their conduct. And you get a picture of who this person really is. So when Jesus came and his focus was on us, I had a couple things that come to mind about what he wanted me to see and you to see. The first question I have is, what did he want us to see? He wanted us to see his glory. And his glory was of the one and only, full of grace and truth. And if you look at verse 18, he is the one that came to show us the Father. Because Jesus' character as being God was absolutely in one with the God the Father and the Holy Spirit. Jesus is the God-man. And this is what he wanted us to grasp and get a hold of. He is often called the Son of God, which refers to deity. He's of the same nature as God, and through seeing him, we can be convinced of that. Now, I'm telling you, it took the followers of Jesus, even in the New Testament, the apostles and disciples who were with him day after day. It's just like when you feel that they had a handle on who he was, then they missed it. And it took a long time. Actually, it took it practically until after the resurrection, when by his resurrection, the Spirit of God declared him to be the Son of God by his resurrection from the dead. And even after that, they were so slow to believe that Jesus took 40 days before he went back to heaven, proving to them that he was alive. I mean, everybody knew he was dead. He suffered. They execute him. And when you're dead, you know what they do? They bury you. And they buried him. And in every memorial or funeral service I'll do, when I talk about the fact of Jesus bringing encouragement, I bring up this burial issue. Why is it so important to us today? It's because somebody died. They're really dead. I need to know that because someday I'm going to die and they're going to bury me too. But I want to know what comes after that. And Jesus set the way in his resurrection from the dead, coming alive again. And he tells us, you see that grave? I overcame it. You see death? I overcame it. You know judgment? I overcame it. I overcame everything that makes you sad today. And so hope and assurance comes back to the mind and heart of those who see Jesus in history and understand that he is God. He is the God-man. He overcame the grave. He has opened the way to hope for me and you. If he overcame that and set the pace, then if I want to overcome the grave and have eternal life, I need to know this Jesus. I believe that's why Jesus showed himself to us. Because he wants us to know that he is one with the Father. He is God. He's just not some other world religious leader. No, they're all dead. Jesus is alive. He is Lord. We sing a chorus sometimes. He came from heaven to earth to show the way. From the earth to the cross, my debt to pay. From the cross to the grave, from the grave to the sky, Lord, I lift your name up on high. There is reason to worship God in Jesus because he's living. He came and he did a great work. But Jesus wants us to see his glory, which means I am God. I came down from heaven to earth to you because I'm looking for you. The other issue, I believe, is he wants to help us to see him. And when it says here in verse 14 that he dwelt among us for 33 years, there was a reason why he wanted to be seen. And that is that, like the disciples, we are not so easily convinced. We may think that, well, it sounds good. But sometimes being convinced takes time. It certainly did with the disciples, and we're no different. And he spent 33 years living on planet Earth, and it's documented in the scriptures, where people witnessed him. They saw him. They observed. They looked hard. They didn't believe. They questioned. They wondered. And then when Jesus did certain things, what was in their mind through the eye gate and the ear gate, what was in their mind began to go to the heart, and they began to wonder and think and watch, and belief was developed. And some gave their lives to follow Jesus. Others took a long time. But the fact is, they had the foundation of history to go back on. And that belief was rooted in reality. It just wasn't an ideology. It wasn't some dream or fairy tale. You know, we hear these words, well, if you believe enough, or forget that. Some people want to believe enough in a doorknob. Well, the doorknob works, but it has nothing to do with spiritual victory. But if we have faith as a grain of mustard seed and trust Jesus, Jesus begins to work in our heart and minds, and others have told us what he can do. It's recorded right here. And then even in John's gospel, we watch all his miracles, turned the water to wine. He healed the royal nobleman's son. He healed a lady who had an issue of bleeding for 38 years. He fed the 5,000. He walked on the water. He healed the blind man. He raised Lazarus from the dead. He calmed the storm. He himself overcame death. He proved that he was God. And how did he do that? All the while being human, How else could we see him? You see, he got down to earth. And we have seen his glory, and we have been convinced that he is the one and only come from the Father, full of grace and truth. So it isn't just about the fact that he came. He came for us. He helped people. He was a people person. And Jesus lived, and we have seen. He spoke our language. He adhered to our customs. He worked in a woodworking shop, and he spoke the scriptures. He helped people. He was a servant. He was a servant God. So important for us. We celebrate Christmas because the fact that Jesus came is historical. But the fact that he came for humanity is also historical. And that love and mercy and goodness works its way through to our hearts. He came for me, and he came for you. That's the reason Jesus came down to earth, and he lived among us, and he took on our customs, but yet in the middle of it, he showed us his God-likeness. He was God. So important. And that's what we remember as we come to Christmas. The point is, he helped us to see by getting down to earth. And at Christmas time, we affirm this. We affirm together, this is the historical Jesus. This is the God-man, the human Jesus, who came so that we could see ourselves and that he would seek to bring us to himself. There's just one more thing I want to mention, and is that he got down to earth that we would see what fulfills our hopes. I can't tell you how many, again, memorial services I've been involved in where I hear, the person is reunited with their loved one. Aren't we all going to heaven? It is so good. And I know the meaning of those statements because many assume, you see, God has wired it in us. We want to go to heaven. We may not want to talk about it. We don't even sometimes want anything to do with God. I don't want God intruding in my life. Let me do what I want to do. But when it comes to suffering and death, oh, isn't it so good that we're going to go and live with him? We're going to be all better. It's a contradiction. Jesus said, I come that you might have life. That's survival. Even survival that's eternal. But I also come that you might have life to the full. I call that satisfaction. It means that when he comes, he knows that I have had certain hopes and dreams that God has so wired in me, but they're not fulfilled yet. But I discover that through Jesus, I can overcome my sinfulness. I can be forgiven. I can be given the grace of eternal life through a relationship with him. And the good news of Jesus overrides the bad news of not knowing Jesus. And when that comes about, I'm fulfilled. Jesus came so that I might have life, eternal life. But he also came that I might be satisfied with him and want to live for him. And so often I hear in secular settings that, oh, aren't we just all going to heaven? That's not true. He who has the Son has life, it says in John. He who does not have the Son of God does not have life. That's verse 12 of chapter 1 here. We need Jesus. And so the issue of him coming to earth, he came to fulfill my desire to live and my desire to be satisfied. So I just have a couple things that I think we need to do at Christmas. And it isn't just Christmas, it's every day. Number one, I think Christmas means we get back to the beginning. And so we intentionally, at this season, pause. And as the Israelites went back, like, to celebrate Passover, back to the Red Sea, back to the slaughtering of the lambs, a token that God could deliver them and bring them out of Egypt and set them free. And then they had all the sacrificial systems of the Old Testament. Jesus is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And so the first thing that I think we really are doing is going back to remember history. Right back to the beginning. Right back to the mind of God regarding Jesus and regarding us. And I start there. And these are the things that I need to affirm because I'm convinced of who He is. He is the Son of the living God. He has been born unto me and to you a Savior. And I need to go back to that and to value that beginning. And I think it comes down to prayer. Someone said a while back, you know, sometimes Christians get so busy doing Christian things and Christian functions and this and this and this, and we forget where we came from. And one of the things they mentioned as a good suggestion was in the morning, first thing, before we get out our list, and even we go on and live for the Lord through the day, we just need to stop and say, thank you, Lord, for saving me. Thank you for the forgiveness of sin. Thank you for the gift of eternal life through Jesus. Thank you that a Savior has been born to me. He is Christ the Lord. Thank you that God got down to earth. Jesus became the God-man. That He walked among us for a time and we have seen His glory. Thank you, Lord, for what You have done. Thank you for the life that You give through Jesus. Thank you for all Your goodness and the gift from God. And you see where it all starts? Because sometimes we get so busy doing Christian things and Christian service, we almost, it's glossed over and we forget the depth of God's mercy and goodness and grace to us. And so I think it's a good habit that day by day or at Christmas time, I just stop and I get right back to the beginning. I was without God in sin, needing forgiveness under the death penalty because the wages of sin is death. And God worked in my life. Thank God. It all starts by going back to the beginning. And it starts with giving thanks in prayer. I think that's one of the first takeaways that I could go home with today in regard to Jesus getting down to earth for me. It was about me. It's very personal. Whosoever, if you will believe that Jesus is the Christ, you will have eternal life, and so on. It's very personal. But the other thing I was thinking about is Christmas changes our values. It helps us to get down to earth, doesn't it? We sang this morning how that Jesus sets the example. And so I think the other thing we need to take home is like a life lesson regarding how those who have found their hopes in Jesus help others to find hope in Jesus. And I think it is so obvious that we often miss it. We talk about the preaching. And I was trained in fundamentalism. I know how to get in your face and quote Bible verses and impose guilt on your soul. Almost acting like God, which is another problem. But the reality is, look at what He did. He didn't count equality with God something to be held on to and just grasp. But He humbled Himself and took on human likeness. And then He humbled Himself again and became a servant. And then He actually died on the cross. And of course, He overcame death on our behalf. But isn't it all right there? It's by getting down to earth off our high horse and knowing the humility and the grace that comes through receiving forgiveness and eternal life. and I live my life for Jesus, and I show Christ-likeness, being a servant, caring for people, meeting them in their needs, offering words of encouragement, having listening ears, coming alongside to encourage, and in these ways they will know you are Christians by your love. I think Jesus said that. They will know you are Christians by your love. Where do we do that? Being down to earth? Right here. I love being Bill. And increasingly, in the latest years, just enjoyed being myself. Because sometimes in the Christian community, we have such expectations and we want to live righteously, and sometimes others impose their views on us beyond Scripture. Oh, if you're going to look spiritual, you better wear your tie this morning. You know? And if you're going to be the person who is going to be a real good Christian, oh, don't wear a beard. Even though Jesus wore one. You know, where do you get that? And you see where I'm going? Jesus so modeled getting down to earth that during this Christmas season, through giving to needy families, through the Christmas food hampers, through our ministerial, by giving our gifts, we want to so represent Jesus well that those perhaps who do not have the living hope in Jesus may come to know him, because he gets down to earth, and we show it because we are living examples of a people also who represent Jesus by getting down to earth. Lord, make me a servant, humble and meek. Let me lift up those who are weak, and may the... how's it go? Yeah, follow you. That's what we want to do. So at this time, we just want to pray that God would help us to be down to earth, to dwell among people so that they will see and that they will want to know Jesus too. I believe this is a good place to start. And I'm sure Pastor Kent's going to tell you about different Christmas characters and uniquenesses and details along the way. But this is where it's all, this is what it's all about. We represent Jesus well. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you today that you are a great God, and we just ask that you will help us as we focus to remember why we're here. We're here because you got down to earth on our behalf. We pray that we will represent you by how we live, but also, Father, that we will make sure that eternal life and forgiveness is our personal possession through Jesus. We ask that you would prod our minds and poke our hearts and move us in that direction so that we would have hope and assurance. In Jesus' name, amen.